I'm an addict named Ron. And I'm here by God's grace and God's mercy. It's my pleasure to serve. All right, to serve, check it out, troubled spirits. We are people with troubled spirits. Even those of us who are in denial of the troubled spirit have a troubled spirit. Along with this package called addiction comes this feeling of not being quite right. I'm glad to be here and have shared this podium with my sponsee Terry W. and my new friend here, Kathy. Thank you for the hit from Connecticut. All right, it's a late hour. All right, I want to talk about knowledge versus belief. Now, I want to say something. As addicts, we tend to have all or nothing thinking. We call it black and white thinking. It's hard to find a middle ground. But we're asked, and it works how and why, to try to find a middle ground. One of the things that happens in our conventions are topics that appear to be adversarial, like religion versus spirituality, like knowledge versus belief, as opposed to religion and spirituality, which is an integration. Check it out. Because if you got the right religion, all right, it's gonna have a spirituality. So it's knowledge, which is facts, established parameters, that means areas of information. I had a lot of knowledge. A lot of knowledge in 1965. Oh, I had knowledge. All right. But I didn't have access to belief. Access. New Year's Eve 1965, I started doing heroin. 65. It's a long time ago. Heroin was $2 a bag. Cocaine was $1. You got a nickel back on a quart bottle of beer. You got, wasn't no liters. A nickel back on a quart bottle of orange soda. You could hustle bottles and get high. Then inflation came. I was in treatment 32 times between 1967 and 1989. Wait a minute. Knowledge Knowledge told me, just don't use. You don't have to use. You're such a brilliant young man. Get a job. Go to school. Knowledge. But there was something inside. Check it out. Something inside. That was, check it out, and continues from time to time to eat at me. Something on the inside. And it was something on the inside that I was medicating for 25 years. 25 years of medicating post-traumatic stress disorder, medicating separation anxiety. Medicating ADHD. I hope you don't think you use just for the fuck of it. If you don't claim addict status, like you did a drive-by for about 6 months and you here for the fucking dance, then you might not have, check it out, what we have. But if you claim addict status, you trying to get something up off your ass. So I had a lot of knowledge. My father was a doctor of dental surgery. My grandfather was a doctor of dental surgery. My uncle was a medical doctor. Wait a minute, knowledge. My mother was a college graduate. These are African Americans. Born in the 1920s. My grandfather graduated from Howard University in 1896. They were drawing and quartering and hanging black folks. So check it out. Knowledge was in my family. But nobody could give me the key to freedom. The key to freedom. Nobody could. I spent 15 years in the New Jersey State prison system. I was facing a death penalty in 1971. But nobody could give me the key to freedom. All of my life I suffered. Oh, I suffered. Quietly sometimes, and sometimes in your goddamn face. But I suffered. I wanted freedom. Check it out. I wanted peace. Peace. But no way to access it. In my last treatment program, I ran into a guy. Actually, it wasn't the last, it was number 31. I was in a $1,000 a day joint on East 61st Street in Manhattan. Watching the tram go back and forth to Roosevelt Island. The guy came in and he had on an NBC peacock jacket. I I said, this fucking guy works for NBC. I live in abandoned buildings. Wait a minute, voluntarily. What is voluntary homelessness? When they tell you, you can't live here and get high. And you say, okay, see ya. You make a choice for homelessness. Here's your keys. Take your fucking keys. Oh. The guy had on a peacock jacket. So I'm sitting there because they've compelled me to go. I'm in treatment. The guys, they came in with H&I. The guy started talking about how he had been in Sing Sing, how he had been in Dannemora, Attica. He got my attention. I want to know how he got that fucking peacock jacket. Wait a minute. So I'm growing big ears now. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. He told me he was going. This is 1988. He told me he was going to Seoul, South Korea to film the Olympics. I said, the fucking addict with a peacock jacket. Fucking peacock jacket. Wait a minute. I want a peacock jacket. All of the knowledge that I had didn't remotely come close to the belief that was starting to be formulated. Wait a minute, even Ripley knew that seeing was believing. You go on Ripley's Believe It or Not, number 9 on Duval Street in Key West. You go in there, you'll see a two-headed calf, and Ripley knew that people like us, we don't believe without evidence. Evidence. And the evidence has to be an evidence that we can see, feel, taste, touch, and smell. I'm being confronted. Check it out. I'm being confronted. Huh? Wait a minute. We talked and listened to others. Huh? We saw other people recovering. And they told us. They reported. They gave you a goddamn report. They told you what was working for them. We began to see evidence of some power that cannot be fully explained. I don't know. Wait a minute. This ain't knowledge. This is not knowledge. What the fuck he's doing is not knowledge. It's not knowledge. I need to know more about what he's doing. But wait a minute, do I have the right mindset? Because this is my mindset. This is my mindset right here. This is the only one that I know. It's right here. It's in the third tradition, in the basic text, right? It says, an addict who does not want to stop using will not stop using. They can be analyzed, counseled, reasoned with, prayed over, threatened, beaten, locked up. Check it out, check it out. You can hit them with holy water. Smoke going around, holy water. But they will not stop until they want to, given that information. What has enough force? What has enough force to make me take a look? Wait a minute. We can use this power long, long before we understand it. We don't even, knowledge is understanding. We don't even have to understand this shit. If you want what we have to offer, huh? And you're willing to make the effort to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. These are the principles that make our recovery possible. So say, if you want what we have to offer, now check it out, not the knowledge, but the example. Because belief is a mental condition. Knowledge is not mental. Knowledge is factual. Belief is mental. Wait a minute, check it out, check it out. Can your fucking mind surrender to the truth? Wait a minute. You're going to remain so goddamn arrogant that you think your way, even though your way is the best way, even though it says our best efforts. God damn it, best efforts. Didn't that bet? There ain't nothing out the best efforts. Our best efforts resulted in ever greater destruction and despair. Wait a minute, wait a minute. At some point, here it is, goddammit. At some point, we realized that we needed the help, check it out, of some power greater than our addiction. Not a power greater than ourselves, a power greater than your motherfucking sickness. Because your ass is sick. You claim addict status, your ass is sick. And you should treat yourself. We're talking about second and third stage denial now. Your ass 20 years clean with denial. You're sick. And few people that can tell you you're sick. But because you respect me, and I know you do, I'll tell you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. And I still carry a knife. I ran into a guy years down the road. Years down there, I've been clean a long time now. Shit, long time. All right, I'm 17 years, 11 months clean. I'm coming up on 18 years. That's a long goddamn time for somebody who had a romance and a marriage with drugs. Who, check it out, who had an absolute solidified and consummated marriage to denial. In this process, I've had to believe that I could do some things only because the examples and models have been presented to me. All right? I'm a firm believer that if you don't come here and report on what you're doing, you need to sit the fuck down. This ain't no glory thing. This is a thing about coming up here, checking out, and reporting in on what the fuck you're doing. Now, check it out. If you ain't doing nothing, you don't have nothing to report. shit. So the question is, because we're employed to rejoin society. We're not, this is a subculture. We come here and we check it out, and this is the clinic for us. It's a clinical experience. We come in here, we pick seats, not speakers. We sit down, we grow ears, we listen. Half the time, nobody has to tell me anything. I just need to have a pair of ears in the meeting and listen. Listen, because when I need something, somebody's got it. It's an interesting thing about this spiritual process. When I need it, I always hear it. But I can't hear it unless I'm here. So I show up. Now, I didn't believe that I could do anything more than stay clean. I mean, wait a minute. It was 25 years of heroin, but there was 8 years before that, a total of 33 years. 8 years before that was the wine and the weed and the mescaline and the psilocybin. You know what I mean? The glue, the cleaning fluid. You know, wait a minute, the vanilla extract. What the fuck was I running from at the age of 8, 9, and 10 drinking vanilla extract? What was eating at this kid? I was arrested September 21st, 1967 at the age of 19 for use of heroin. Nobody ever helped me. Nobody. Years of prison, years of treatment, not a goddamn soul. Except you. You are the only ones. Terry was talking about a map, a compass, and a goddamn light. You were and continue to be my light. I was told I'd never amount to anything. Never. You're social vermin. You're a parasite. You're breathing good air. We've been told that in different ways. Make the language fit your experience. You're too black. You're too fat. You're too tall. You're too skinny. You're fucking gay. You've been told it in 900 different ways in your own language. Check it out. You can be anybody you want to be. Anybody you want to be. I'm starting belief, not knowledge. I'm starting my last class for my PhD. I start on Monday. Monday's my last class. Advanced research methods. I hate it. It's some dry ass shit, man. I'm a clinician. I work with people. I'm a licensed professional counselor, LPC, in private practice, with an office in my home. I'm a drug and alcohol professional. I'm a social worker. I have a social work license. I'm many, many things, only because examples were presented to me in this program that I could be anything that I wanted to be. It told me, pick who the fuck you want to be. Pick who you want to be. Huh? Stay away from the losers. No, the qualified loser. When the goddamn door opens, the door of opportunity. Have enough faith to go through the door. Go on. Go on. Wait a minute, being trapped by the need for instant gratification. Where is it taking me? It ain't your motherfucking life anyway. You got a third step? You made a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God? Why the fuck are you concerned with your life? Are you Millie goddamn Vanilli? What are you gonna do? Move on. Go through the door. Go through it. Things are always changing in my life. Always. Contracts change. I work exclusively for myself. Contracts change. Check it out. I have enough faith to know that God, check it out. And if you fit the goddamn script, God takes care of his messengers. I didn't say his speeches. I'm not talking about speeches. I'm talking about messengers. Are you carrying a motherfucking message? Carry them. Is that how you carry it? That's what it says. It says, check it out. It says, first of all, in the seventh step in the basic text, it says we couldn't handle the ordeal of life all by ourselves. That continues to be. By myself, I fail. I become frightened and scared. All kinds of phobia set in. Xenophobia. Oh, you're different than me. You don't look like me. You don't talk like me. Fuck you. All right? That's xenophobia. Racism grows out of that. Hatred grows out of that. So I've moved way past xenophobia. Fuck it. A social phobia. Try not to be around people. If you have social phobia, go get some goddamn Zoloft. Help yourself. This program tells us to check it out. It says that we gradually and carefully. Brad, this is not me talking. I'm simply the translator. We gradually and carefully pull ourselves out of it. It's a seventh step. That means we're not talking about using cocaine or heroin or drinking. Not in a seventh step. It says we gradually and carefully pull ourselves out of isolation and loneliness of addiction and into the mainstream of life. The mainstream. Rejoin society. All right? But you can't if your defects of character are so fucked up. So fucked up that nobody wants you around with your 15 years. Now listen, I just came to share at 1 o'clock in the morning. I took a nap just so I could be on fire for your ass. In September, I start my dissertation. It's a PhD in psychology. I listen to God, and God keeps giving me assignments. It says that in our literature that we're becoming who we were meant to be all along. I said, it works how and why. Who are you? You? Who are you meant to be? Who are you running from? Come on, wait a minute. We, no, not just NA, we, your community, your schools, your children, all right, your neighborhoods need you. You're a natural leader. Wait a minute, look at what you've been through. You're like an iron, like a horseshoe that goes through the fire repeatedly to be the proper tensile strength to do the job that is on your path that you don't know about yet. Use your resiliency, your ability to bounce back. Look at you. Tell yourself your own fucking story. You know, Ron H. got a nice story. It's Ron H.'s story. Your fucking story is the one that got your ass ripped. Tell yourself your own story. Inventory what you are afraid of. Come on. Listen, I need partners. I need partners. Listen, I got enough partners to help me stay clean. I need partners to help me to continue to self-actualize. Who am I? That's what I need. You got people in this room. I know some of you people in this room who are self-actualizing. You're taking that step. You're taking your best swing. You're going to places and hallways that you, I'm talking about living hallways, that you don't even know what's in the fucking hallway. You just go. That's what this is about. Just go. It says, it just for the day living the program, right? It tells us, right? It says that the great source of fear is the unknown. The unknown. All right? Go into the unknown. Keep one hand on the known Check it out. Keep one hand on the knowledge and put the other hand on the belief. I've just come to share and give you hope because that's all I have. Because in NA, our message is hope. And the promise is freedom. Anything after that is gravy. Where are you going to get the hope from if people don't come in and share no hope? All they share is drama. Drama. Oh, goddamn. I might do better at the Elks. Yeah. All I know is they got a rich barn there. Look. I don't know where I'm going in my life. And it's none of my business. Contract changed for me for the summer. I was teaching addiction counselors and now the whole course is on hiatus. I said, where's my money going to come from? I'm telling you, I got a call from Lincoln University. Wait a minute. From jail to Yale. All right. I got a call from Lincoln University in Central Philadelphia, in the urban campus. And they said, would you come and teach for us? Would you come and teach? So I started teaching there in June. They changed my title to Professor H. Right? And some of you always say, well, what about your record? What about my record? Fuck your record. Fuck your record. If God wants you somewhere, God wants you somewhere, can no man stop you from going? The summer one session went so well, they said, Professor Hayes. That's my name. If I'm in a hospital, you need to know. Don't ask for Ron H. Ron Hayes is my name. Because in the hospital, that's the only way you'll find me. And it might be right at the moment that I need you. And it's my motherfucking anonymity. I'm asking you not to go to the press, anybody with my anonymity. But I can tell you who I am. They say, would you teach a second summer session? We weren't going to have it. I see some of my students sitting in this hall. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for you. So the day they called me into the administrative office and they said, Professor Hayes, would you teach in Newark on a Tuesday night? Teach two field classes. I said, check it out. It would be my absolute privilege to serve. Service work. Terry gave it on the symbol in Narcotics Anonymous. Self. Society. This is the order. People get it out of order. Self. Society. Service. And God. God comes after. Check it out. God ain't going to do nothing for you. You can do for yourself. Huh? How you gonna go to God without going to the people you fucked up? They ain't having it. He ain't having it. Or she ain't having it, whatever your belief system is. All right? Check it out. Service work is making a pot of coffee. And service work is also stepping up in your neighborhood, in your community, in your academic environment, and serving. Serving. Look, I'm done. All right, I'm done. I hope I haven't gone over. It is my pleasure to do service in your life. It is my pleasure to be at your service. Just don't be trapped by the need for instant gratification, because my life is packed with work, with teaching, with doing psychiatric evaluations. Some of you could really benefit.
from talking to me.
Oh, listen, know that when you stop me in the hallway, if you say more than 10 words, I'm assessing your ass. I can't help it. I'm always doing that shit, man. All right, listen, thank you for loving me. I love you like a fat kid loves cake. I'm an addict named Ron H.